Come on, here, sheep, 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 sheep. On the farm that I was growing up on, many of you know that we had sheep. And the sheep that we had, my father was the shepherd. We had about a dozen sheep. And every once in a while, there would be a predator that would chase the sheep. Sometimes it was my horse. Sometimes it was a young steer, a cow in their pasture. Sometimes it was our dogs, a brave fox. Sometimes it was a cat. Sheep kind of get skitters around things they don't know. At one time, I saw a chicken chase the sheep. The chicken had no idea what it was doing. It was just running around. The sheep were scared of it. But when the sheep were at their worst and were harassed and were pushed into a corner, every once in a while, they would break the fence. They would push through the fence, and in breaking through the fence, they would escape. It was often on the weakest side of our farm next to Grant McPhee's property where they would find a hole in the fence and they would get out. Harassed, bothered, hungry, some freed up, they would run. And the alarm would come from my dad or my father, Ken, come and help us collect the sheep. My father, as the shepherd, would take the rope. He would take the rope to, if he could, catch the leader, the ram. And my brother would be given the stick. He's a little bigger than me, and although he had a less disposition to actually bring them under control, he was given the staff. And I had the riskiest job of all, because I was given the pail with the grain in it. And we would call the sheep. And we'd go seek to find the sheep and bring the sheep back in to where they should be, to protect them, to heal the ones if they were injured, to get them out of the place where they could eat things that were poisonous to them, and to bring them back under the care of the shepherd, my father. I think Craig said it earlier quite well. The sheep on our farm, when they would take off, would literally be on the lamb until we collected them. Some of them didn't want to come home. Do you feel like you've been running from your shepherd? Are you thirsty? Are you lonely? Are you tired or hungry? The shepherd is calling you. Do you hear him? Should you heed him? Will you trust him to lead you even when sheep all around you are going their own way? Will you do that? Today I wanted us to consider the writings of 30-year-old Ezekiel. Ezekiel is an amazing prophet. And Ezekiel is a prophet who's writing in the 6th century BC. And as he writes, he is in exile. He's actually been captured and taken to a land not his own as a prisoner of war, so to speak. And he's in present-day Iraq. He lives beside the Kibar River. And the Lord comes and gives him visions. Amazing visions. Try reading Ezekiel 1, and your mind will just be spinning. At least mine does. A wheel within a wheel. People that have four different faces that are going through the air. I challenge you to read it. It's not easy to read. But there's a tagline that's repeated all throughout the book of Ezekiel. And the tagline is this: so that you, so that they will know that I am the Lord. That's what he says. This whole section of predictions, of visions, prophecies, that they will know I'm the Lord. That they will know I'm the Lord. I'm going to do this for you so you will know that I'm the Lord. Just keeps repeated 40 times. And there's oracles there that include the Ammon nation, Moab, Edom, Philistia, Tyre, Sidon, Egypt, Judah, Gog, and Magog. But halfway through the book, as you're reading along, you realize something, and that is it's not been fulfilled yet. You and I are in this book. Because some of it's already fulfilled in the past, but some of it's not yet fulfilled. Oh yeah, I know it's great fodder for people that want to speculate on what the future holds. It's a prophetic book, but let's face it, we're in the middle of it. If you want to turn in your Bibles to chapter 34, I'm going to spend some time this week and the next 2 weeks to come looking at Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, it's like he's flying at 40,000 feet with all these visions in the future and then right down to earth. And he speaks to you and I quite plainly. And he speaks to the ancient leaders. And I want to just share a couple of things from what he said there chapter 34, starting in verse 1. Ezekiel shared with his counterparts, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds and clothe yourself with wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you don't take care of the flock. You've not strengthened the weak, healed the sick, bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally.' So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains, and on every high hill they were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched for them, and no one looked after them." He continues. Sorry, let me back up just a moment. This first section, of course, first applies to ancient priests. After all, Ezekiel has been exiled to Iraq, to the present-day Iraq, to Babylon, because of the leaders that have failed the people, the priests that failed the people. And we can see here what God thought of this people. They sought their own health and they got wealthy off their sheep, off their people. They did not strengthen the weak. They didn't care about the weak, actually. They didn't care about the sick. They didn't care for those that were injured. People that just wandered off, they didn't go after them and say, "How can we care about you?" They just let them go. They didn't search for the lost. Instead, verse 4, they ruled them harshly and brutally. In fact, he summarizes it in verse 5 and says, "No one did the work of the sheep. No one did the work of the shepherd." People wandered all over. It applies to ancient priests. But let's face it, it's not a text that stays in the past. It's timeless for these two reasons. First of all, Peter acknowledges this. Peter says, 2 Peter 2:5, "We, as the church, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. It is the basis for the principle in the Baptist church that we understand as the priesthood of all believers." Well founded in Scripture. This passage is directed at the shepherds. It's directed at me. The pastors, the priests, the ministers. But it doesn't stop there. Why don't we self-identify? I'm guilty. Pastor. But as goes the pastor, so goes the church. So deacons have been influenced by this kind of poor leadership. Members have been influenced by this poor leadership. Other leaders in the church, of course, have been impacted as well, too. And so the question is raised, what are then we to do? What am I to do? What can you hold me accountable to do? And to check in with yourself on in terms of what your life about. Because God calls us to this. We are to use the wealth of our lives. I'm not just talking about me, about money. Let's think about wealth in far more diversity than that. We are to use the wealth of our lives for equality. To build each other up. We're not to slaughter each other economically. That happens, you know, in our society. Something that I do takes opportunity out of someone else and steals from them. I choose not to pay my taxes, try to hide it. I'm stealing from someone else. Right? We are to seek each other's health and welfare, to be used by God to strengthen and heal to forgive injury that has been caused, to help people return to God, to search for those who are lost, to be kind, to be loving, to do the work of shepherds. I have failed in doing this fully. I confess that to you. Have I always been authentic in caring for God's sheep? No, I've not. I've not always been authentic or done the best I could in caring for you. So there's something else in this passage that is really rich for us. The ancient priests had failed so many times in doing this that God goes on and says something incredible. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so have been plundered and become food for the wild animals, like literally, like their nation was taken from there, their temple was burned to the ground, and many of their family members were killed. Like, this was total change for Ezekiel and his people. Because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and become food for all the wild animals, because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, therefore, Ken, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds. I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. Hold on. What is he saying to me? Your spiritual lives is important to me. Because God's going to hold me accountable if I hold back what he asked me to say to you for your own growth. My father as the shepherd could not force his sheep to eat, to drink. He was to care for them in an environment that was safe. So you have the responsibility, if you will, to hold me accountable, to say things that build you up. And if over 6 months' time, I'm speaking, and it's not building you up, then you got to tell me. You got to tell our deacons. You got to get me corrected because I'm being held accountable for this. That's a heavy and light mantle. It's a heavy mantle because, oh my goodness, how am I to ensure that you're safe in this world spiritually? But the next part actually blows me away. Because God says, I'm against the shepherds, I'll hold them accountable, I will remove them from tending my flock. If I don't do God's will and work for me, I expect him to remove me. And I've seen it happen with a friend that I used to work with in the financial services. Former pastor, he let his people down. God removed him, he loved him, he cared for him, but he was not to become a pastor again. He acknowledged that. But then he says this, I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. He continues and says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I, myself, will search for my sheep, and I will look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I thank God that I've been born when I have. Because this passage tells me something very interesting. We as human beings messed up our opportunity to care for each other and do it well. So God says, fine, I'm going to come and do it myself. I'm going to come and be your shepherd. Which for me is like, all right, bring it on. A perfect shepherd leading us. That's great. This is good news. We see some of the ways these ancient leaders have disappointed God, selfishly sought their own gain, their own wealth and status and position to the detriment of others, ignoring others who want to know God, keep them from coming to God. It's not too long of a conversation that I would have to have with you before you would remember someone who was in a church in a position like myself and used it for their own gain. It's the era we live in. It's the reason why in the Baptist church you're to hold me accountable, even if I'm speeding. the emphatic truth of this passage is this. God will bring justice and search for his people. He will rescue. He himself will rescue. And he did it. Jesus and John Ted said this. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. He could even say those that come after me, that are outside of me, are thieves and robbers. But the sheep who have not listened to them, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. Not just depth of life, breadth of life, eternal life and life here. The richness of death of life, enjoyment of life. I am the good shepherd. I think he was thinking about this passage in Ezekiel. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the sheep, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. That's you. He's talking about you. And I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You know, many times, I heard it once this week, many times we pastors like to not just elevate ourselves so that we can be heard, but also elevate ourselves in status and importance. And call me the Reverend Dr. Majestic, Wonderful, Awesome Ken, please. That's my new title. It'll hard to fit on my business card, but it needs to be there because that's who I am. First of all, if that's what I need to make me into that, there's something really also missing. But we like to give ourselves more significance. So let me tell you this clearly. I'm a little lamb, just like you. I'm just a little sheep, like you. But just like you, I have also been given shepherd status because all of you have shepherd status. You do. You have shepherd status to lead the youngest amongst us, to lead the oldest amongst us, to lead the newest to our community, to lead the oldest to our community, to lead by standing around the snack table sharing your lives, to lead by sharing with your lives throughout the week. He has given me leader shepherd status in this community. I don't know why. Some days I just think, why, Lord? I think of David's psalm. What is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man, that you take notice of him? Who am I? Who am I? But we need to pause and realize this. God said, I'm going to bring about justice. First of all, Jesus' death on the cross was the biggest expression of justice ever because he paid the price to cover your sins. So some days, if you're anything like me, you think, oh, God's really slow in bringing about justice in this world. The cross is the biggest payment of justice ever. He paid the price for our sin. Well, yes, there's more justice to be done, but he's bringing it about. He paid the price of your sin. He continues to work out and seek justice, largely through people all around us. I see that with Janet's job all throughout the week. Amnesty International, in part founded because Christians said there should be rights for people around the world. They're working through us. But he also said this, I'm searching for you. I'm searching for you. I, the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the shepherd, is searching for you. Craig and I didn't compare notes before we met this morning, but he's rescuing us, ultimately from the final effects of sin and death and destruction. So the question is, are you listening? Which direction are you going? I know from what Craig said, if he doesn't mind me saying it, that God was with him all summer long. It's not like God just shows up here and this is the only time he's with us all summer long, everywhere we're going. That's the point of the Holy Spirit, is Jesus made our faith transportable. We take it where we go. We can't help it. But let's face it, you and I also know which direction our head is faced, towards him or against him. So let me go back to the sheep. My father was the shepherd, and he would, if he needed to, go to them and bring them into his fold. He cared for them. They listened to his voice when I was coming in and saying those things. It really didn't matter what we said. They heard our voice, not necessarily the words. We could have said anything. In fact, my brother used to make up things as we were calling them out. Hey, you stupid sheep, come over here right now because I got homework to do. Well, they would still hear our voice. It was the voice that they heard, my dad's especially. And my brother, of course, being my older brother, would have this, that if a sheep was going the wrong way and going to lead the other way, a quick crack on the nose that didn't hurt the sheep just redirected them, corrected them. If you haven't experienced this from God, you will. But my job was the most fun and the most frightening because I was the pail holder. I carried the grain. And this is what attracted the sheep, because this sound connected with their hunger. And that's what the leader of the group, you would see him, or the ewe, looking this way and then change direction. So if I can use this analogy, let me suggest this. Every one of you is one of these. It's your love and living your lives that will attract the sheep that need to come back to God's pasture to follow. Because you're the greatest in the world? No, because you're following Christ. And with your pail, your love will attract them. He is the great shepherd. And he will come along and correct them and direct them and bring them back into his fold. He will unite his flock. But if you think for some reason that I hold some kind of special status and my prayers are more important than anyone's else and you can only have me pray for someone else, Ezekiel told us Jesus was coming to be our shepherd. And if you've throughout the summer, throughout the last 4 months, throughout the last year, throughout the last week, feel like you're no longer listening to God's voice, the shepherd is calling you. It's not Ken Park's voice. It's not the voice of people around you. It's not the voice of other Christians. It's his voice. Spending time with him and getting to know his voice is one of the most important things you can do in your life. How do you do that? Read his word, you'll know his character. Start with one passage, like the passage we looked at today, and read it every week, twice a day. And you'll begin to recognize his voice and what he's about. Praying to him also allows you through the Holy Spirit to know his voice. Connecting with others as far as we have opportunity to do so. Shepherd is calling you. Do you hear him? Should you heed him? Will you trust him to lead you? Even when there's all kinds of other sheep around us that are going their own way. It's a question I'll leave you with.